All right, we're going to talk about prayer. I think your theme for the fall is Transformers. And I am telling you guys, nothing's going to do it like prayer. Prayer is simply communing with God. We make it too complicated sometimes. Prayer is simply communing with God. And it's so important because, would you agree with this? God wants a relationship with you. Yes. Hot on fire, abundant, kicking, intimate. I mean, some people, their Christianity is so boring, it's incredible. But if you commune with God, that will not be the case. And you can't have that kind of relationship unless you commune with God. So we're going to look tonight. Ariel emailed me and asked me to preach out of John 17. There are 25 verses, I believe, and I've got about 20 minutes, so there's no way we're going to get them all in. But we're going to read all 25 verses tonight. And so if you brought your Bible and you're in John 17, did I ask you to turn it earlier? John 17? And if not, we're going to put it on the screen. But we're going to look at the real Lord's Prayer. Now, which Lord's Prayer are you usually familiar with? Our Father, which art in heaven, Matthew 6, I think it is, and stuff. But that's the Lord's model of prayer. John 17, we actually have what Jesus prayed before he went to the cross. Are you ready? We got it? Is that there, Matt? Thank you. All right. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Now in the NIV, there are some subtitles and subheadings. So he's going on, and Jesus is now going to pray for his followers at the time. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so they may know, they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. That's a good verse. Hey, this gigs thing, that's pretty cool. Jesus just prayed. He said, Lord, I'm not taking them out of the world. I just had a Bible study yesterday with a Jehovah's Witness guy. This dude is hungry, man. He's so hungry. And that's what Jesus prayed. We're here for a purpose, guys. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. They're not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Now, verse 20, he starts praying for you and for me. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them, and you and me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Father, we ask you to bless your word tonight. God, I can't think of anything I'd rather preach on tonight than prayer. Lord, you want to change this campus. You want to change our lives, and it comes, Lord, from communing with you. So bless this time in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that's, what, 25 verses, 26 verses? Can you go, Matt, can you go right back to the top, verse number 1? We're going to zero in. There's no way we can get our hand around 26 verses. But talking about prayer, I want to zero in on verse 1 and the first part I guess it's all verse 1. This phrase, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. I want to take just that little bit, and I'm just calling it prayer 101. I want to give you four practical elements of prayer. I like teaching. Let me just jump in. I'm hoping I see some people got their pens and stuff out. Take some notes on this. I think this can help you. First of all, the position of prayer. The Bible says after Jesus said this. Well, what did he just say? Whenever you see something like that, you need to find out what did he say. At the end of chapter 16, Jesus said this. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Listen to me, guys. Now, man, I might get fired up tonight because something happened in January in our church, and God spoke to me. He said, this house is to be a house of prayer. We actually hired a staff member in June just for prayer ministry in our church. I preached all summer just on prayer. Every single time I preached a summer, I preached on prayer. We've increased our prayer meetings. The spiritual level is rising. This is crucial, you guys. This is crucial. But you've got to understand, the position of prayer that we have is one of victory. Listen, we don't pray hopeless, wimpy prayers. We pray because Jesus has already won the victory. He said, take heart, I've overcome the world. We pray based on what Jesus has already done. We pray based on what Jesus has already won on the cross and resurrection 2,000 years ago. Folks, that's why we say in Jesus' name. A lot of people just tag it on as a little byline. In Jesus' name means in line with everything he is, wants, says, and does. And then we were taught, see, prayer is the conduit. How many know that things are cooking pretty good in heaven right now? You're good with me? I do a lot of participation, by the way. So when I ask, I really, most of the time, I'm answering, you know, looking for an answer. How many know in heaven is going pretty good right now? Really? The rest of you are like, I think God's got problems up there. Okay, then I'm going to just tell you. It's really going well in heaven right now, guys. Okay? All right, for those that weren't sure, what did Jesus teach us to pray? Your kingdom come, your will be done. Prayer is a conduit to get up there down here. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no sin in heaven. There's glory in heaven. There's unity in heaven. Prayer is the conduit, guys, to get what's going up there down here. No more wimpy praying. All our fretting. So many Christians, they pray when, it's the last resort. After a while, it makes you sick because it's like, really? What kind of a sissy God do you have? We need to go to the throne of grace boldly. Why? Because Jesus said, take heart. I have overcome the world. Our position of prayer is one of victory. Secondly, is the perspective of prayer. It said he looked toward heaven. Listen to me. Where are your eyes these days? Young people, where's your focus? If you are looking around, if you're simply looking at what this world has, you are not going to believe that the victory has already been won. You're going to be swayed and influenced by what's going on earth. But if you will look up, if you will look up, Isaiah 6, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Where's the temple now? Someone tell me. Where's the temple of the Holy Spirit right now? Right here. You and I, we're the temple. God, fill me fresh. I believe that the things Jesus said, that which I do, you will do, and greater things than these. How many of you believe that God can run his power through you to raise the dead? How many of you believe that God can run his power through you to heal the sick? To cast out demons? Jesus said, you'll do the things I do, and even greater things. But you're not going to get it by looking around. You got to look up, because that's when he starts to fill you with his spirit and fill you with his glory. We got to get our perspective right. We are the temple right now. Fix your eyes on things above, not on things below. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Jesus looked toward heaven, and he prayed. Third thing. Now, I'm moving pretty quick because I want to get to that last point, okay? Third thing, participation. He looked toward heaven and prayed. Who's he? In the text, who is he? Jesus. Would you agree with this statement? If Jesus needed to pray, you need to pray. Great skit. Great skit, by the way. Because what you portrayed is the norm in American Christianity. I'll fit time for God in if I can find the time. How ridiculous. One thing that just irks me. There's a book out called 5-Minute Devotions for Busy People. Oh, really? You are so important, you can't find 5 minutes for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's God, creator of the universe. And I'll try and carve out a little time for you, God. No, folks, we need to say, if Jesus needed to pray, I need to pray. Unfortunately, the old saying is true, when all is said and done, more is said than done. You listen to me. The only thing that's going to matter this meeting you're in right now, doesn't matter diddly, except we get a conviction to pray. We can have all the Christian meetings we want. The devil could not care less, because they're not going to mean squat to the eternal realm, except you as an individual and myself make a commitment to pray. Remember Saul, who became the Apostle Paul? He's going to Damascus. He gets knocked off his horse, and he blinds him, and he goes into the city, and God calls on a guy named Ananias. Ananias, I want you to go to this guy. And he tells him where he is, and then God identifies Saul, who became Paul, to Ananias with one phrase. He identified Saul this way. He said, he's praying. That's how God identified Saul. Could he say that about you? If God and the angels were talking tonight, could they look down and say, that person prays. That person knows how to pray. They've got a heart for prayer. And some people say, well, prayer's boring. Now, don't raise your hand. Look at me. Don't raise your hand, because I'll embarrass your socks off in a minute. Do not raise your hand. Do you think prayer is boring? Because there's only two people involved when you pray. You and God. Is God boring? Jesus raised the sick. He healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, walked on water, changed water into wine. When he died, he rose again. Jesus isn't boring. So if your prayer life is boring, guess where the problem lies? Because there's only two of you involved. Okay? So maybe there's a little evaluation. That's part of the problem. It's not boring if you understand the position and the perspective. Listen, prayer is not boring if you understand that when you pray, things happen in the heavenly realms that don't happen if you don't pray. Are you okay with that? I love you guys anyway. You look at me like, you are an old grandfather now, aren't you? But I'm going to stay out of it. I don't care. God has burdened my heart so deeply. Listen to me. There are things that happen when you pray that do not happen if you don't pray. That's why God calls us to this thing called prayer. The problem is we try to make prayer something that it's not. Now I will ask you to raise your hand. And this is okay. I'm not using the boring word. But how many of you wrestle with a good, serious prayer life? Just raise your hand for me. You okay with that? All right, that's cool. You know, we all have it sometime. So let me ask you, how come is it when we're with our friends, we can have so much fun and laugh, and we get with God, we get weird? You know, when we get with our friends, we're like, hey, how you doing? And we're just like cutting up and stuff. And then we get with God, and we go like, oh, thou heavenly Father in the mighty third heavens and stuff. And God's up there going, is he talking to me? See, I want to encourage you to just make prayer simple again. Can you just start talking to God? I drove from Woodstock, Illinois to Sycamore, Illinois, about a 45-minute drive a few months ago, and I got in the car because I was struggling at the time with my own prayer life. And I said, Lord, I'm gonna talk to you as if you're sitting in the passenger seat. And for about 45 minutes, I had the most awesome prayer time. I just simply said, Jesus. I didn't get into this flowery stuff. And I just talked to him like I'd be sitting here talking to Jordan tonight or something like that. And it was just that simple, okay? Just, guys, return the simplicity to your prayer life. Just talk to him like a friend. Isn't that what he is? He said, I now call you friend. We had a guy, when I was in Bible college, long time ago, we were had a team that traveled together, and I basically carried the equipment and preached. And one of the guys in the singing group, before they were going on the platform that night, he was praying, and he was going to pray down heaven, and he was getting all spiritual and stuff. And, you know, the phrase where the Bible says there will be rivers of living water that flow from within. This guy prays, and he says, God, let there be livers of living water. And we stood there and just cracked up. Because, folks, that's funny. All I could see were just livers. Just, you know, and we didn't try and recover and be all spiritual. We just gut laughed, okay? And I think sometimes you just got to go back to being who you are. Don't try and be something you're not. Just be who you are in this thing called prayer. Make it simple again. Get into the realm of participation. it's the Nike thing. Just do it. You know what? We don't need more. We don't need more seminaries. By the way, did you know the word Nike is in the Bible? Do you know that? It is the Greek word for victory. Nike. It is biblical. It's in the Bible. Just do it. Why? Because we pray from a position of victory. All right, that was free, okay? Last one. Now, I've got just a few minutes, and this is the part I'm supposed to get to tonight. This is the whole thing, the crux of the matter tonight, and it's the word priority. Jesus prayed. It says, after Jesus said this, that's our position of victory. He looked toward heaven. That's our perspective. He prayed. That's participation. He said, Father, the hour has come. That's our priority. Now, when Jesus said it, what was he about to do? Hang on a cross. He said, the hour has come. He was talking about the cross. And in that moment that I call crunch time, what did Jesus do? He prayed. Folks, are we living in any less of a moment today? You see, I received from Ariel, and where is Ariel? I'll forgive you for that hat, sister, that Brewer's hat. I got the email from Ariel on a Tuesday inviting me to come preach here on prayer from John 17 on Tuesday. So I grabbed my Bible on Wednesday morning. I went in the sanctuary, and I began to meditate on John 17 because I knew that I could not preach all 26 verses in 20 minutes, okay? So I was looking for that which God would really have us to get across. And this is how far I got. I got to the phrase, the hour has come. Father, the hour has come. That's all the further I got. It's still in verse 1. And the Lord arrested me. And he, and I don't know what you believe about the voice of God, I believe God still speaks today. And the Lord arrested me. And he said, tell them the hour has come. Tell them the hour has come. Young people, this is the greatest hour to be alive in the history of the world. The return of the Lord is imminent. The hour has come for your life. The hour has come for your family. The hour has come for your community, your church. The hour has come for this campus. The hour has come for this world we live in. We live, I believe this with all my heart, that we are so close to the coming of the Lord. I don't know if any of you study Bible prophecy at all. If not, please start. Because when you study the Bible about the end times, there are many indicators. I'm going to give you, just speak them to you, a list of indicators that are in the Bible about the end times. You tell me if any of them are going on in our day today. False Christ and false prophets, apostasy, a rise in immorality, an increase of knowledge. A lot going on with Israel in the Middle East, wars and rumors of wars, the love of many will grow cold, persecuted Christians around the world, one world religion, one world government, one world finance, the weather patterns, pestilence, famines. Do you see any of that in our world today? And you know what the best one is? This gospel will be preached to the ends of the earth. Wycliffe Bible Translator says by 2025, the whole earth will have a translation of the Bible in their language. Folks, these are indicators. I'm not trying to set dates and times of the Lord's return. We're not supposed to do that. But there are signs and there are seasons. Look at me. Do you understand the hour we're in? Because most of the church is playing games right now. Most of the church is caught up with what makes them comfortable. And God would say to us tonight, it's our hour. And in the hour, we pray. Listen, I don't know, there's maybe 60, 70 people in this room. I believe if you guys get serious about prayer, it'll change the complexion of this campus. I believe with all my heart. There's 25,000 people in my town. I believe our church is going to be part of the body of Christ that literally changes the complexion in our town. The same day the Lord ministered to me, this word to me, later that same day in a prayer meeting, a lady stepped up to and she said, the Lord keeps speaking the word ark to me. The church is to be a place of safety in storms and difficult times. But the only way Noah knew how to build the ark was he had to get the specifics from God. How do you get that? You pray. It's not just about the Bible. The Bible, I love the Word of God, but it's not just about the Bible. The Bible builds the bomb, but prayer detonates it. Listen, folks. And this whole semester is wonderful on Transformers. But if prayer's not the base, we're spitting in the wind. I've told our staff this. We've quit spending money in our church. We're not going to go buy a lot of expensive programs. I told our staff, I said, until we have a breakthrough in the spiritual realm, we are just spitting in the wind trying to develop programs. But once prayer brings an open heaven, the rest is just bringing in the harvest. And that's the fun part. I want to pray over you, and Ariel's going to come. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to release a spirit of prayer over Carroll University. In the name of Jesus, God, I ask you to release a spirit of prayer over InterVarsity right here on this campus. Father, I pray every person here, including myself, would be deeply convicted by the Holy Spirit to become a man, a woman of prayer. And just keep it simple. Just let our heart pour out to you and let your heart pour out to us. Lord, change us. Grant us to be men and women of prayer. We say yes tonight. We repent for our prayerlessness. And we say yes now to being prayer warriors for your kingdom in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.